translation. So this verse is from the 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35. It's quoted here. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words. Purport. There are two kinds of general activities, shreyas, or activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and prayas, or those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, children are very fond of playing. They don't want to go to school to receive an education. And they think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. Even in the transcendental life of Lord Krishna, we find that when he was a child, he was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, the cowherd boys. He would not even go home to take his dinner. His mother, Mother Yasoda, would have to come out to induce him to come home. Thus, it is the child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for his health or other important concerns. This is an example of prayas, or immediate and beneficial activities, but there are also shreyas, or activities which are ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. He should understand what God is, what this material world is, and who he is, and what is their relationships, and what their relationships are. This is called shreyas, or ultimate auspicious activity. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, his life, wealth, words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach of shreyas for the benefit of others. This verse, cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, applies to human beings, not to animals. As indicated in the previous verse by the words Manusha Janma, these injunctions are meant for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. We're so fond of going to school. Haribo. Okay. This is the fault of modern education. Modern educators do not know that the aim of life, they are simply concerned with how to develop economic conditions of their countries or of the human society. This is also necessary. The Vedic civilization considers all these aspects of human life, like dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money. For economic development, one does not need to get money by hook or by crook. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of the Lord. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion. They are busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money. For economic development, one does not need to get money by hook or by crook. One needs only sufficient money to maintain his body and soul. However, because modern economic development is going on with no religious background, people have become lusty, greedy, and mad after money. Money is the honey, but you also get the bees too. They sting. So it's not just pure honey. They are simply developing the qualities of rajas, passion, tamas, ignorance, neglecting the other quality of nature, sattva, goodness, and the brahmical qualifications. Therefore, the entire human society is in chaos. The Bhagavatam says that it is the duty of an advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. There is a similar verse in the Vishnu Purana, Part 3, Chapter 12, Verse 45, which is quoted in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as verse number 43, and that is the next verse. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gadavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, again the verse, it is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So this verse is a series of verses spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, it goes back to about at least 10 verses, where he's asking us, he's talking to us directly, and he's saying, I need some help. I got this wonderful storehouse of fruit, and the fruit is so sweet, and there's so much of it. And that fruit is nourishing, juicy, tasty, and life-giving. Not only life-giving, eternal life-giving for everyone. But I'm one person. How much can I do? Therefore, help. Please assist me in giving out these fruits. Please take the fruits, eat them yourself, enjoy them, become benefited by such tasty fruits, and then distribute more and more fruits to others. He's actually begging us. The Lord becomes a beggar, and he's actually saying, please, this is why I came, so please assist me in this mission. Take it, enjoy it, and also distribute it to yourself. And so this verse here follows one of the most important verses that is quoted by Prabhupada in this lectures. Bharata Bhumita Hoila Janma Bharata Bulva Hoila Manusa Janma Ya Janma Sartika Kari Kara Pa Upakara. I did a little research. Devotees do that a lot to see how often Prabhupada quotes verses. And this verse, Bharata Bhumita Hoila, that verse was quoted practically more than any other verse other than 1866 in the Bhagavad Gita. How often Prabhupada quoted this verse. He was always begging that, please, Lord Chaitanya has come with this special gift. And especially those, he says, that those who take birth in India, it's a higher birth, it's special. Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto actually says a birth in India, Bhardvarsya, is considered to be more elevated than the attainment of the higher planets, heavenly planets. It's very auspicious. I was just recently listening to one lecture by Prabhupada where he's saying that actually everybody in India is Krishna conscious, or everyone in India is God conscious. But now things are changing and people are becoming, what we say, moved away by the materialistic politicians who are grabbing office and acting like, selfish personalities, always fighting. So things are changing. But here's a petition that, of course, we might even say, well, I'm not born in India. But if you have a body made in India, that the warehouse of your body has Indian components, so you might consider that also as being born in India. There's a connection there, obviously. But the word is going out not only to those who have that, what we say, special blessing, we could say it's a blessing, But those, whom Prabhupada said, everyone who is actually, our Lord Chaitanya is saying everyone, should use anyone in the human form of life. So he expands the point from the previous verse, not only just to those who were born in Bhardvarsha, the land of India, but everyone, every human being. And Prabhupada would say paropaka. He would use that word, paropaka. Paropaka means to do good for others. He says animals can't do good for each other. They're always thinking about their own needs, and they can't think beyond that. That's the nature of an animal. But a human being can think outside of his own needs and also think about the needs of others. So it says that that special feature of concern for others is actually the quality of the human life, which is the outstanding quality. So here, how to use that quality in the best possible way. We see in today's society, people like to do good for others in different ways, giving in charity to the poor, opening hospitals, feeding the needy. This is natural, it's compassion. It's material compassion, but it's still the nature of a living being to want to do something to help others who are in need. It's just normal. When that's not there, then a person is not normal anymore. They're just lost, completely lost. So what we see in today's society, you find so many welfare activities, so many welfare agencies, so many programs to uplift society in various ways. But where is the quality of life improving? And that's the question. Is people actually becoming more happy, more fulfilled, more satisfied by such activities? It appears by, you know, empiric observation that it's not happening. And people are more unhappy, more in anxiety, and more in need than ever before. Although we have so many. Why? Because nobody knows the real need of the living being. The external needs, or the needs of the body, are necessary. That's all. But the needs of the soul are essential. There's a difference between what's necessary and what's essential. And sometimes you can do with something without something that's necessary for a while. But something essential cannot be marginalized. It has to be formalized as something that is the feature of the living entity's existence. And that is to become Krishna conscious. So those who have been blessed, those who have been intelligent enough to accept this goal of life, should see how important it is in their own life as the success of everything else we do. Because it says, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi yaranasi, yat dehosi tadasi, yat tapasi tukuntaya, tad kurusha mararpya. He says, all that you do. He uses the word all. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, all sacrifices, do it for me. In other words, everything ultimately is coming from Krishna. Everything is maintained by Krishna through his various energies. And everything, when it's time, will be ultimately destroyed by his energies. So there's nothing outside of Krishna, ultimately. So he's saying, in order to understand that, connect yourself with everything you do for me. Make an offering to me. And then you are synchronized with life. When we act outside of Krishna consciousness, that's not life, that's marginal. That's simply a struggle in order to maintain a body which cannot be maintained. That's all. We maintain it, but it can't be maintained. But when you maintain your body and family and whatever else you have as a support or necessary to practice Krishna consciousness, then that maintenance is also auspicious and spiritual. So 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 1 = 4. Whether you say it one way or the other, the goal is the same. So those activities that appear to be maintaining the external aspect of our life, when they are used in the service of the Lord, they are just as good as devotional service. So then, understanding that, then I have been blessed. I have been fortunate. Now let me make someone else fortunate. So that's the thought. That's the next logical thing. Prabhupada would say, become Krishna conscious and then distribute Krishna conscious. He always said it in that way. But we understand what it means that before you, as he says here in this verse, unless one is interested in one's own welfare, he cannot give that same benefit to others. He cannot do that. So we're interested in our own spiritual advancement. Why? Because that is the essence of life. That's perfection. It's not something that's selfish, it's something that's natural. There's a difference of being selfish and being natural. Selfish is something that I do because I like it, and it may or may not be beneficial. But something like Krishna conscious is beneficial. And when you become Krishna conscious, or when you practice the activities that bring you to the level of Krishna conscious, you're benefiting everyone. You're benefiting everyone. Just like we see the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They never left Vrindavan. But they benefited the whole world. We chant that verse. What is it? Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Buddha Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadatis. Rupa Goswami is mentioned in that. Why? They never left Vrindavan, but yet they were benefiting the whole world, staying in one particular place. Because when one brings Krishna into their life, that Krishna is there in all aspects of existence and everyone benefits. So becoming Krishna conscious means that you're helping others also. But at the same time, there is an incentive here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You might say it's an extra incentive to make an effort to give other. You see, but the real trick, here's the real trick. You can't become Krishna conscious unless you give Krishna consciousness to others. It just doesn't work. If you think, I'm going to be Krishna conscious and the heck with everybody else, it doesn't work. Why? Because that's called neophyte stage. And neophyte stage is called materialistic bhakta. Prakriti bhakta. Prabhupada explains that. And that one engages in devotional service. They think, well, Krishna's nice, the spiritual master's nice, but the other devotees are a nuisance and the karmis are just rotten. I mean, we have that also. But that's called prakriti bhakta. And that means, Prabhupada says, okay, you start there, but get off that stage. You can't stay there. Because if you stay there, you actually go down. So the next stage is, what is the next stage of devotional service? It's called Madhyama Arikari. And what are the symptoms of a Madhyama Arikari? She, devotee, gives their love to Krishna. Krishna is the object of our affection, our love, our service. So we do that in the forms of prayer, chanting, or whatever else we do. We make Krishna the object of our activities. So that's an expression of the heartfelt feelings of devotion aimed at the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. We make friends with other devotees and share Krishna consciousness, assisting the other devotees, serving the other devotees, being friends with the other devotees, sharing Krishna consciousness in one form or another. That's also a quality of one on the second class platform. And the third aspect is one preaches to others. One wants to give Krishna consciousness. It's natural. Isn't it natural? When you have something that's really wonderful, you think, who can I share it with, right? Yeah, the happiness of having something wonderful is not as wonderful when you keep it, but as when you share it, it becomes even more wonderful, right? It's just natural. We see What was I going to say? I had a point. We call that preaching, but that's just natural. And you get something and you want to. The statement is, imagine if you had all the money in the world and you had all the, you know, all the possessions in the world, and you're the only person in the world. It's miserable, isn't it? People aspire to get more and more things, or to gain something, and whatever quality of understanding they have for life's goals, but just to keep it for yourself means you lose it. It means you lose it. You have to give it. And when you give it, you get it. Lord Chaitanya goes on and he speaks that. He says this storehouse is so full of fruits of love of God that when you distribute it, the storehouse gets bigger. Where do you find that in any example? When you have something and you give it away, it grows. That's spiritual. We all know that. When you give love, you get love. When you give your time, you find you always have more time. It's always like that, especially in Krishna consciousness. When you are kind to others, people are kind to you. When you're not kind to others, haribo, you get the same thing. You know, this is the way life is. So when you give Krishna consciousness to others, in whatever way you can, as it says here, by your work, whatever work you do, by your thoughts, by your mind, by your example, by your life, by your wealth, by your intelligence. Prabhupada explains these four, life, wealth, intelligence, and words, are actually successive. If give your life. If you can't do that, give your wealth. If you can't do that, then use your intelligence to speak about Krishna. If you can't do that, use some words, write a few sentences, and glorify Krishna. That's basically how Prabhupada explains this verse, explaining how it's successive. But a devotee wants to give everything, because everything is including in when we give our life. What does it mean to give your life to Krishna? It means to give back what belongs to Him. It's all, really. Whatever we have is given to us. Nothing is ours. So Krishna is the Adham Bija Pada Pita. He is the life-giving, energy-giving, source-giving, and provider for everyone. Sanatana Goswami explains that Krishna is the only provider, only protector, only maintainer. There's not just one of them, only one. Prabhupada says this. Now, this might sound a little bit like I'm going off the subject and maybe making a little bit of a contradiction. But Prabhupada says nobody can do any good for anybody. Only Krishna. And if Krishna works through you, you become that well-wisher for that person. So what we can do for others in doing good is coming by the mercy of the Lord in one form or another. Whether it's from Him coming directly or through His material energy in the form of His the pious activities we have accumulated in previous lives. But in any case, everything is Krishna. So when you give your life back to Krishna, you're giving back what belongs to Him anyway. We belong to Krishna. We are Krishna. We're nothing but Krishna's eternal servant. There's nothing else. The material existence we have is superfluous to our real existence. And that will always change. But our eternal relationship with Krishna will only grow, never change, and will never be lost. It just grows. So here, in this verse, and a series of other verses, I don't want to take anybody's classes because these verses are, you know, very powerful. But Lord Chaitanya is just going on and on with the same point. And he's just begging. He's begging for us to assist him. And just imagine, a little bit of imagination here. Just imagine if everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement would actually make an organized effort to distribute Krishna consciousness, how fast this movement would spread around the world. How fast, amazing. Because it's empowered by God himself. It's not something that is coming as some religious process that was developed in due course of time. This is Lord Chaitanya's desire, who is Krishna himself, for the world. This whole world becomes fully God conscious. So he's empowering and he's inspiring and then also empowering those who want to make an effort to do. And if you make a little effort, Lord Chaitanya gives you more and more opportunities. It's unlimited. It's really unlimited. And then if you become so busy in spreading Krishna consciousness, you're happy. All your problems go away. Sometimes people would say to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada always would speak about, you know, how Krishna consciousness is a feature of joy, happiness. But sometimes people would criticize. Sometimes you don't look like that. Prabhupada said the reason why is because we're always worried about you. We're happy, but we're concerned that you get the mercy also. So it's our job to figure out how we can give it to you. And you don't want it, so we have to work hard. And we have to think of newer and different ways to somehow or other convince you what you actually want. You want this, but you don't know it. That's why Prabhupada. So we want it for ourselves, and we also want to give it to others. Now, to get more specific in this same category, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada actually outlines the process. He says, if you're a grihastha and you have been initiated by your sannyasi guru, then you live at home. You have a duty to call your friends, relatives, and other devotees to your home, have a program, distribute Krishna prasadam, and discuss Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He says this is the formula. So everyone who has a home is either a place of taking care of the family, or it's a place of worshiping the Lord along with our family. It can be either one. Of course, we take care of the family, that's there. But it can be a house or it can be a temple. And when the Lord's there in the form of his deity form or even an altar with pictures, then it becomes more like a temple. And therefore, in order to have a temple, you invite others into your temple. And you also have worship, prasad, discussion, pravachan, prasadam, like that. And then the home becomes a place of worship. And then it's non-different than the temple, actually. It's non-different than the temple. We come to the temple, but that's not always something we can do regularly. But when we make our home a temple, then whoever comes there will also get the benefit of being, you know, blessed by the mercy of the Lord. Like that. So this is what the Acharyas and Lord Chaitanya says. Use your life, become fully Krishna conscious. Don't waste it and simply engage simply in maintaining family members and the body. These things are, you know, necessary but not the goal of life. And Prabhupada makes this point, Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas, ultimate benefit. Prayas, immediate benefit. Using the example of children who like to play, not caring for anything else, not even their health, he says. He says, when children, they just think playing is the goal of life, right? The parents know it's not. But that's the nature of children. They just want to play and play and play. And Prabhupada says, even Krishna was like that. There's one pastime in one place in, I think it's near Kamyavan. I think it's in Sankate. I forgot exactly the exact spot. But Krishna and his friends were playing, and they just kept playing and playing and playing and playing and playing, and they forgot to go home. And their parents didn't know where they were playing. They went to look in the normal spots, but they weren't there. So they couldn't find them. So it actually became late at night, And it actually entered into the evening hours, and Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yasoda, was beside herself with anxiety. The cowherd men, all their children were with Krishna. They were having a good time just playing. And finally, they decided to go out with torches in the middle of the night to find their kids, Krishna. And they were finally, after some time, they searched the whole night, and in the morning, the next morning, they found him playing. And Krishna said, "Oh, Father, what are you doing here? We just got here. We just started to play. Why have you come so early?" You know, they completely lost track of what we call time. And the kids, Krishna was just having a good time with his friends. And finally, of course, the parents said, "Okay, now it's time's up. We got to go home," and all that. So they did. But the acharyas explained that this playing went on for one night of Brahma, as Krishna danced the Rasa Lila in the same, what we say, calculated time. Krishna was also playing with his friends. He would lose. Of course, that kind of play is also shreyas. It's not prayas. But Prabhupada uses the example of children. How children like to get, they think this is the goal of life. But, so therefore, if we think the goal of life is simply to maintain this body and the family members, we will actually lose the goal of life. The goal of life is to become Krishna conscious and to give it to others. So, and how do you give it to others? You just think, what has Krishna given me? What is he giving me? How can I use it to serve others? How can I use it to organize with other devotees in such a way that we can somehow or other reach the conditioned souls? Okay. And I can say now the world is in a situation where there's a lot of people who are seriously looking. I went to America this summer. I haven't gone to America in many summers. This was the first summer in many years. And I went to 5 Rathiyatras this year. And some of them were huge Rathiyatras. 5,000 people were at the Chicago Rathiyatra and the Washington, D.C. Rathiyatra there, which is not a real Rathiyatra. It's actually the Independence Day Parade, where the devotees have a Rathiyatra car in the parade. There's 500,000 people who come to that parade, and there's millions who watch it on TV. So we had booths there at those both of these Rathiyatras, and we were teaching people how to chant japa. We had these booths for teaching people. We had these japa kits, beads and some books and some mantra cards like that. And just in one day, in the Chicago Rathiyatra, 700 people came to chant japa. 700. In the Washington, D.C. Rathiyatra, 2,000 people came to chant japa. We ran out of beads in both places. So I thought, wow, I had never seen such eagerness before in the American people. So I was thinking there's a certain change in the climate now of the world, that their people are starting to seriously trying to make a difference in their own life. And we've been around for a while, obviously. We've been distributing books for the last 40 years. So between all this book distribution, and we're still sticking around, you know. They're talking about us more than ever now. They're still here. We thought they would leave 40 years ago. Now we've become a household word in many places, and we look like, you know, almost mainstream in some areas. So that is a good indication that, you know, we have something to offer and people are seriously looking. So if we're out there to be able to give them something, you know, it's more and more chances that, you know, people will be more eager to take what we have to offer. So this is basically what I see, that, you know, there is kind of a need which is not being fulfilled by their normal life, to look towards spiritual life now. A lot of people are, especially young people. Yesterday I went to Manchester for the 12-hour kirtan, and there was 6 or 7 or 8 new people who had come. They'd never been to there before. They were students at a college. They met the devotees at some preaching programs in the college. They were invited to come. They came, they had a good time. They were dancing, they took prasadam, and they enjoyed the whole thing. So that was pretty amazing to see six or seven new people just come out of a college, a couple college programs that devotees have been doing. So if we just get out there in one form or another, there's so many people who will be eager to take what we have to offer. Okay, so any questions or comments?